Students around Connecticut have been busy taking standardized tests this month. Based on the results of those tests, some schools are labeled as failing. As part of WSHU's State of Disparity series, Craig Lamult visited one so-called failing school in Norwalk. That's the subject of a new book.
All right, boys, girls,
teacher Keith Morey stands in front of his class at Brookside Elementary School in Norwalk and reviews questions his fifth graders didn't get a chance to ask Congressman Jim Himes when he visited earlier that day.
Dear Congressman Himes, I know you're busy and you gotta take care of your children, but I was wondering if you could please give money to Norwalk and other school districts for field trips.
The question comes from experience. They had to cancel a trip to see Howe Caverns.
And what is the main reason we're not going?
Because the school can't afford it.
Yeah, you know, it gets expensive. Not only for the school, but it gets expensive for the parents.
Unfortunately, going without is a lesson these kids are all too familiar with. Brookside's not a wealthy school. 61% of kids at the school get free or reduced price lunch based on their family incomes. And the problems for these kids aren't just at home. The school has its own challenges. According to measurements of the federal No Child Left Behind Act, Brookside has been a failing school for years, and they've got plenty of company.
Arnie Duncan, the U.S. Secretary of Education, came out with a statement.
That's writer Ron Berler.
He said, at the end of 2012, it's possible that 82% of our schools could be failing. That's a crazy number. What does it mean that 82% of our schools are failing? I wanted to see what they thought of as a failing school, so I went in there to see that.
The result is Berler's new book, Raising the Curve, a year inside one of America's 45,000 failing public schools. Berler had been working as a mentor for some students there, and he convinced the principal to let him spend the 2010-2011 school year inside Brookside. Berler says he saw how the school budget affects the students.
Now think of this. This is a failing school that is failing in language arts. And what have they done? They have no literacy specialist. And this year, as another part of the budget crunch, the library is closed every other week. How are these kids supposed to pass?
About 60% of the students at the school are Hispanic, and many of their parents don't speak English. And a lot of the kids don't have any preschooling before they show up for kindergarten. A recent test showed about 38% of the kids walking in the Brookside kindergarten door didn't have the necessary basic skills, like knowing the alphabet or recognizing shapes.
If 38% are walking in the door already behind, how can you blame the school or the teachers for that?
First of all, it's not an excuse.
That's Brookside Elementary's principal, David Hay.
That's the first thing you got to accept, that you can't say because we don't have this, we won't be able to do something with the children. You got to recognize it. It's not going to change. Income is probably the biggest thing because the kids don't have experiences, resources that a lot of the wealthier kids have. So we have to try to get those for them to any way we can.
Hay has tried to address that kindergarten readiness issue by starting 3 preschool classrooms at the school. But that's just 62 kids, and there's a huge waiting list for spots.
That's the one thing I wish government officials would hear and understand. If you want to make a change, that's where the change will happen.
Where change is measured is the annual standardized test, the Connecticut Mastery Test. Hay says the teachers and students worked hard at getting ready for this year's exam.
You hear the expression teaching to the test, and everybody says, oh, that's bad. Well, the test is set on the Connecticut standards. So all the questions go back to what you're supposed to be teaching. So if you're actually teaching to the test, you're teaching to the standards, which is what you're supposed to be doing.
Writer Ron Berler is more critical of the role the CMT winds up playing in classroom lessons.
So they're all taught to write in one way, to approach a problem in one way, when there are many more ways than one to solve a problem, and doing it one way kind of negates the idea of creativity, not only in the students, but in the teachers.
All right, so we have our intro.
The day before the writing test, Morey diagrams how to write a CMT essay for his fifth graders.
We have main idea 1, main idea 2, main idea 3, and then we have our conclusion.
Maury says for about a month and a half before the CMT starts, he takes a half an hour a day, when he usually teaches grammar, to focus on test prep. And he doesn't cover as much social studies as usually would, since it's not on the test.
For me personally, it's not dropped. It's but it does take a little bit of a backseat to science.
Fifth grade is the first time the kids are tested on science. Maury says these kids are going to take standardized tests throughout their educational career, so it's good practice. And he says he tries not to make too big a deal out of it or stress out the students.
So, give me your best effort tomorrow. You guys are all really good writers, but you got to believe it in yourself. Who believes they're a good writer?
Just a few hands go up.
Who's going to give me the best work tomorrow?
Almost all the hands go up. The question is, even if they all do their best work, how many of them are going to meet the state's standards? Principal Hay says a lot is riding on those scores.
It's image. It's a lot of other things that are involved with it. Right now, the state of Connecticut is also attaching part of an evaluation of myself, the school, the teachers, and a lot of other people to test results.
He says if his school is ranked as failing, it doesn't mean the whole school failed. He says it's usually just a subgroup, which could be about 40 children. This year, Connecticut has moved to a new evaluation system, giving schools a single grade that's calculated by considering both how students score on a range of subjects and by the performance of those subgroups, like English language learners or students who qualify for free or reduced lunch, and Black and Hispanic students. Each year, the expectations get higher on that scale. In 2015, the state will drop the CMT in favor of a national standardized test. But for now, Hayes says he just wants to see his school increase the percentage of kids who meet the state goal.
And if it does, then we've done our job as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, you want to call us failing, you don't want to call us failing. It doesn't matter. I know who we are. I know what we do for kids. And I know we're successful with kids. And, you know, labels don't mean that much at that point for me.
Brookside Elementary is turning in its CMT test to the state today. And we'll find out this summer, as they're getting ready for another new school year, how their students scored. Craig LaMolt, WSHU News.